Welcome to Talk About Talk with Shanti Niven and Desiree Luthi. Shanti and Desiree are professional speakers and trainers of world-class speakers and anyone who wants to improve their oral communication skills and their lives. Listen in as they share their captivating speaker secrets over morning coffee. Tune in weekdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Good morning and happy Monday to everybody who's listening in this morning. This is Shanti and Desiree, of course. Here's the lovely Desiree sitting next to me, sipping on a cup of tea this morning.
That's right, change of pace. I want to say that this really does start the week off right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Getting the Monday morning going, and we have some great things to talk about today. So I hope we don't mess up with what we're talking about and start adding too many. Wait, what was I going to say? Did you hear what happened the other day? It was, like, totally out of control. I'll tell you about it later.
That's how many girls sound here. But before we get too judgmental, it seems that everybody has these word crutches, verbal crutches that we use when we speak. For most people, the common words are, President Obama uses a lot. And he doesn't go, he goes, And then you've got the...
No, he does because I have an video of Obama.
That's an video.
It's too. I have both.
Really?
I have a whole one that's filler.
Because in this one particular video, what they've done is they've bleeped out pretty much everything but the us, and it's mostly us. It's very funny. But the us is his favorite one, it seems to be.
Lots of politicians. Yeah. We have Sarah Palin as well, another one.
And then there were the Emmys. We have that video for the Emmys where all of the people who are receiving awards were using on and I'm especially anyway, that's round the world, everyone uses these verbal pauses. And then you get ones that are more colloquial or common to certain areas. When I first arrived here in Cali, I hadn't really been exposed to people speaking from here too much, except for people in business, and they certainly didn't seem to be using this, but I suddenly noticed people, the Valley accent, it's not the Valley accent, I guess it's a...
It is kind of an accent in a way as well. There's an accent, but also the types of words that they're using, but because of TV now, it is catching on all over the world.
Oh,
I'm seeing
my goodness,
it all
yes.
over the place. If you go on YouTube and watch anyone from a different country, you will see immediately that they add the likes, and there's certain things that they
it's
use that you see
virus.
From TV. Mm-hmm. It's a virus, and it goes viral.
It is. It's a virus. It's the like. And the other one here in Cali is you know.
Mm.
I remember listening to the radio one day and thinking, if this man says you know one more time, I'm going to, turn the radio off.
I'm just going to throw this out there, everyone. I slip into that sometimes as well, so I have to be careful today when we're talking about it. Here I am going, you know what I mean, guys? You know?
Well, you know is okay. If used occasionally, it's like salt. If you use a little bit of salt, it's add seasoning. If you use too much salt, it ruins the dish. And so that's what I find when somebody just constantly repeats something, you want to smack them.
Oh, funny one was Matthew. You have to tell the story about Matthew because it's so funny and so cute. So cute and so funny.
Well, you know, that's in context until you stop. So, and you say stuff like that.
There's so much wind out there, isn't it? It's crazy.
I know, the door just slammed. Okay, so little Matthew. I don't remember how old he was, but he was a little tyke. And it's one of my first classes with Rockland and Rockland Academy. And here's this little face, and he is the cutest little being in the world with his big glasses and his eyes, his bright little eyes looking out from behind the glasses. And I'm talking to them about filler words, and I'm saying, kids, filler words are not a good thing. They're not even words. So I said, for example, can anyone tell me if am is a word? And if so, what it means? And his little hand goes up. He says, it's a word. So I said, really? Put it in a sentence. So he said, well, when I meditate, I go,
It's so cute. And then I was talking to a couple people to get them to get rid of their filler words as well, and their reply to me was, well, I don't want to look stupid when I'm standing up there and it fills up that time. Otherwise, I'm standing there quiet and looking at everyone, and they're looking at me, and I have nothing to say. So it fills in that space. And I understand why people say that it does. It's a verbal pause. It's taking that time up there so you look like you're saying something, or if you've been asked a question, you don't know how to answer it, you're taking that time to, okay, I have an answer, but let me think about it for a second, and to give yourself a little bit of a pause time. But we have learned time and time again, it is okay to pause and be quiet. Silence is a powerful thing, and a common saying in the theater, silence is what? Golden.
Golden.
It's golden. There's a reason it's been said.
Exactly. I think that's even true for us. When we're chatting, Desiree and I, and we've slipped into this when we've been speaking on the radio, is that we honestly, you probably wouldn't understand us a lot of the time because we go at such a rate. And it's because of our lifestyles, and we totally understand one another. That's another one, totally.
Totally. We totally
get it. I just caught myself.
Well, do you know that they don't even say that anymore? They've shortened it. So totally is way too long.
Is it not tote?
It's totes. Totes. Oh, totes. Shanti, totes.
Oh, no.
But please never say that. I would never say that.
The other thing we need to talk about is what you just did now. You did that thing that the snobs do here.
Oh, what did I do?
I mean, that verbal, what's it called?
It's totes.
No. What's that thing called? The tone of voice, it's...
Oh, vocal fry.
Vocal fry, that's it. I had brain fry this morning. I couldn't remember the name of it. But you just did it. That vocal fry is another thing I found with Daddy Girls. And then the last one that I noticed is there's a particular kind of laugh. I'd be sitting in a cafe or wherever having lunch, and I'd hear this. I do not know how to repeat it. But if I could, I would do it because everybody would recognize it. There's this sort of... And it's definitely fake. It's not a genuine laugh because, you know, if anyone wants to hear what a genuine laugh is, you need to listen to a baby because they have an engine that goes. And then what happens, and I'm surprised I don't have one because I've got such a loud belly laugh that throughout my first marriage, my ex-husband used to give me a stare. Every time I started laughing, he'd give me a look like, you know, what are you doing? And after a while, I got very self-conscious about my laugh. So I'm surprised I haven't developed some sort of alternative little titter.
Titter.
At least yours is not like that. But here, I don't even know how to explain it. When I hear it again, I'll point it out to you. Anyway, that's irrelevant to speaking. I think with speaking, again, it goes back to being authentic, being original. And if you're going to use, and it's actually fine to have colloquial expressions.
Okay.
I was explaining to you that in South Africa, and it was so funny, yesterday I looked up something on the internet, and this guy was talking about his travels around the world and what he noticed, and he said in South Africa, and he mentioned a couple of the expressions, and one of them is, if somebody in South Africa says to you they're going to give you something now, they actually don't mean this instant. They mean sometime, and it's normally later rather than sooner. So if somebody says, I'll see you now, they don't mean that the door's going to open and they're going to walk straight in. Another one is that they say just now. And just now really is go away and stop bothering me if you really want to know what it means. I've actually think that that's the perfect way of describing it. So if somebody says, well, when are you going to do this? Just now in South Africa would mean leave me alone. Stop bothering me.
I'll get it done when I get it done.
And then there's another form of this, which is called now. And now means, that's about the closest to, you know, of all the just now means in a short while. So there you go. If you ever go to South Africa, very confusing, but that's colloquial expressions. And we learn that all over the world, that they have these little quirks. And here in Cali, no different. We have little quirks here. People say things and I've got to learn what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
That in the beginning I would think, like, one of the things I've discovered is anyways, is one of them, which I actually find kind of cute. Well, anyways, which is not a plural, but you use that quite a lot. And I remember one that I don't hear you use is look it.
I do sometimes look it, if I'm especially when I speak fast, absolutely.
So If anyone wants
to combine, you combine words together, absolutely. Yeah. Well, there was, going back to the filler words as well, just a little bit, there was a study which I'm trying to find, I saw it the other day, saying that if you use filler words, the audience actually doesn't notice and they don't perceive you to be a bad speaker if you use them. And I would like to argue this point just a little bit, because I have taken this to audiences, students, people that have been part of the Captivating Speakers program, and just without even mentioning filler words, I just have them watch a speech and ask, what did you find? What did you like? What didn't you like? And people automatically call out the filler words. Oh, well, they said several times, or what? Or they said like. There are certain sayings or certain things that they said repeatedly that bothered
them.
Well,
here's the thing is, if you have gone to any kind of public speaking training or you come to our classes, you eventually, within a very short period of time, perhaps after the first lesson, you start to become acutely aware of filler words.
Well, this study said that it doesn't change people's perception of you, whether you use them or not. And I found that very interesting that this so-called study said that, because we've done plenty of studies with people. But by the way, before mentioning filler words, before even mentioning looking at them, just what do you perceive you did wrong? We get people all the time that know that they're doing it, and they catch themselves. So it's,
absolutely.
So and our own studies have proven otherwise, actually.
Exactly. But, you know, just found myself saying, if I hear President Obama saying, it doesn't really change the way that I think about him. So maybe that's where the study was slanted.
Yeah, I guess you don't think negative. Well, okay, I'm hesitant
I'll
to say
you,
that because.
I'll tell you what it is.
It's not a negative thing, but you do see them differently.
Yeah. Let me complete my sentence. Is that when you hear people talking like that, it doesn't make you think negatively of them. However, it dilutes what they're saying. And I feel that it, for example, when I see him using a lot of us, it makes him less believable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, you know, somebody's stuttering a bit. Then you find that it doesn't seem as sincere to me anyway. Or they don't seem as confident. So if I was going to be telling you, you had to ask me a question about my program and say, well, do you get results? And I had to go, I do get great results.
Without the stuttering side of it, but yes.
Well, if I had to do it like that, which is how a lot of people do speak, and including our president, when asked difficult questions, I exaggerated a little bit to give you an idea. But if I did that, what goes through your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, listener. What goes through your mind? You immediately start thinking, is this person being honest? Are they confident? No, they're not. And so my role as a trainer is to help people to weed these out, to become aware of them, to speak more deliberately, to choose their words more carefully, and not to sound like that, though, because I have heard some public speakers. Well, I won't mention names.
Hopefully no one heard that. No, I'm just kidding.
I whispered to Desiree the name of one such terrible culprit, and she's a great trainer. She's a brilliant, brilliant trainer. But I found listening to her videos so painful because every word is so chosen and deliberate. And every pause is also very deliberate. And as a result, I find myself wanting to shoot myself. We have a caller. I don't know if you can recognize that number. Should we maybe see if somebody wants to chat on air? Good morning.
Hi, this is Frank.
Hi, Frank. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm sitting here in the middle of a snowstorm. Another one.
Another one. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness. It's I don't want to rub this in, but we're sitting here in Cali. Honestly, I don't know if we ever had winter. It went by so quickly.
Yeah, no, we're in a pattern right now. We're in this rut of snow every other day, so we're expecting about a foot today. I added on to the 30 inches we had a few days ago, so it is what it is. But
it's
supposed to be spring there.
Oh, coming up spring, isn't it?
No, the groundhog saw his shadow. Not good. that's
okay, you're going to have to explain that expression in a second.
Okay. Actually, I'll explain it right now because it's actually going to be a speech that I'm working on. Because when a groundhog sees the shadow, it's not a good thing. It means 6 more weeks of winter at least, depending on where you are. Not seeing a shadow would be the better result. However, he's not all that accurate, but everybody hangs on what he sees or doesn't see. Poor guy.
Oh, my. Oh, poor guy. Yeah, groundhogs seem to be of great importance here in America.
And they've had no meteorological training, so what can we expect them to do?
Exactly. Now, I want to ask you something. You're coming from the other coast. You're on the opposite coast, and there seems to be a little bit of snobbery going on, I've realized, coming to America, between East Coast people and West Coast people. I just noticed that East Coast people, when they refer to West Coast people, tend to kind of look down their noses a little bit. Is this true, Frank?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I've lived on both coasts, so I can appreciate the differences. But I think here, it's not that it's a fast-paced world everywhere, but I think in the New England area in Boston, it's very fast-paced, and people run you over rather than look at you. So I think that's, and it's a little more laid back in California. So I think that's the dichotomy we're talking about. One is more laid back, a more, you know, I guess liberal in their approach, although there's some liberalness here too, if liberalness is a word.
I know. Don't use dirty words on the show, Frank.
Yeah. Make up my own words. But I think there's the other thing that it, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Now, I'm sorry, you were going to say that. Other, you complete your sentence. You paused too long.
Sorry about that. The other thing I was going to say is one of the things that I was told by people that have lived on both coasts is it's harder to make friends on the East Coast, but they tend to be more lifelong friends as opposed to it's, you know, people on the West Coast. And again, this is just general statements. You know, you make friends easier, but they're not as deep of a relationship. And I don't know that I've find that to be true, but that's from the differences too that I've heard.
Do you know why I think that is, from my own personal experience? And that is that people here are, a lot of people are quite transient. So the locals, you know, someone like Desiree, for the moment she and I made friends and we got together, I knew this was going to be a lifetime connection. I've got somebody else, JoJo, the same thing. But in the early days, I was meeting a lot of people in the film industry. And I'll be honest with you, in my own brain, I thought these are flaky people. They say, oh, let's get together for lunch. That expression is so true. Mm-hmm. And I joked once that that's why they're all so skinny, because they never keep their lunch dates. And but it's true here in that they do say an awful lot of stuff and they seem to flake on it. And I don't find that conducive to long-term friendship. So I found that a lot in the beginning, but as I have weeded out those people who are transient, because bear in mind, a lot of people come here to advance a film career, and so they're coming and going. They're also a lot of the time pretending to have money they don't. That's right. Also true of Kelly. And so that, you know, that is the case for that kind of group of people. But then you get below that and you start to find some real people. And those are wonderful people. And I think that's true anywhere in the world. You know, you make the kind of friends you are.
Correct.
And I often want to tell people that, is you make the kind of friends you are. So whatever kind of friend you are, that's the kind of friend you're going to make. But
yeah,
I would agree. What did you know? We're getting off on a completely different subject, though. What did you notice about colloquialisms and filler words? And do you find them irritating?
I do, and I think one of the ones I want to pick up on that you mentioned before, as you know, is very common out here too. A lot of people use it. In fact, some people use it every other word. But the other one that I hear a lot is so. And people will start a sentence with so.
Yeah, very common.
Oh, Frank, that is so common.
He's so on the right page, let me tell you.
Sometimes they'll get stuck there and start with so, and then a pause, and then so, and like, okay, just spit it out.
Oh, my goodness. Do we know people like that? And I've got to tell you, Frank, that I noticed this a lot coming here. So much for not noticing these filler words. I noticed them. They stood out like a sore thumb. to me coming from a different country. But before I knew it, they had crept into my vernacular, and I found myself doing it. But what is funny is realizing that when you do have a filler word that comes to you regularly, you don't even know that you do it. There is one example in my case, in that in my classes that I run, I do something called a trigger word, and that's to make sure the kids are listening. So the beginning of the class will decide a word, whatever that word will be, and whenever I use that word, they need to clap. And if they clap, they get a point. So there we go. Now I'm getting very self-conscious about this. So I discovered one day that my trigger word was right, and these kids just spent the whole class clapping. And that's when I realized that that was, and ever since then, by the way, Frank, they've all asked me, could we have the filler word right? I mean, can we have right as a trigger word? And I say no, because it's annoying. And they said that we can help you weed your filler word out. Because they know I'm always on them with this, so like, you know. But, and I that is a colloquial to me, and then I will say, this is not the way to do things, right? And they will all clap. But it is awfully difficult, so I'm not sitting here being all snooty. I've begun to realize, as it's crept into my own vernacular, that it is difficult, because I tend to be a little bit of a, what's the word that you always say as well, but I relate to people, and so I tend to, after a while, start to speak like them.
Chameleon.
A verbal chameleon. Yeah.
I would agree with that, because I think that that is what you mimic, kind of what you see or hear. And if you get a lot of that casual conversation going, a lot of other people are doing it, you just tend to pick it up. Like, you pick up the body language and that. So I think it's a mirror response. And you've really got to be careful with it.
It's actually a research thing. I mean, they know there's a cluster of neurons in the brain, the mirror neuron, they're there in the brain that actually cause us to mirror people if we're empathizing with them. So a caring person, a person who empathizes a lot, which I would say both Ezra and I are, that's we're speaking with people, you do tend to mirror a little bit. So you are empathizing with that person, really listening to them carefully. And so some of your body movements will be the same, and some of your vocal terms would be the same. Do you find, Frank, interesting question for me, what are the filler words on the East Coast? Because this is what I noticed here. And by the way, I'm absolutely okay with people using a small amount of filler words here and there. As I said, part of the vernacular. Use occasionally. It's when it becomes irritatingly repetitive that it starts to be front and foremost in your speech. And that's why I think that you need to be thinking more about what you're saying. And instead of using a filler word, pause. Just shut up. Okay, so what's the East Coast? What are their filler words?
I think a lot of them are universal. You know, it's common everywhere. So, like I said, it's common. Yums and yas, obviously. But okay and all right in place of, you know, even though you know is used a lot too. Kind of hear a lot of that. Kind of like somebody's asking for some type of recognition, or so they use okay, all right, or you know a lot.
Oh, wow.
I noticed A is also a common one, E-H-A. How's that, A? Which I hear on the East Coast / Canada.
Oh, yes. I would say more Midwest.
Midwest, too? Okay, so yeah. Oh, yeah, Minnesota, Michigan area as well. Yes, yes. Correct.
I wouldn't say I've heard that on the East. I've heard it mostly in the Midwest and close to the border. The Canadians seem to have affected those people a bit. Did you get that A? A?
You might hear some of that up in Maine as well. That's Tennessee, pretty common. Again, they're close to Canada, so you get a lot. I've never heard it too often in listening to people I speak with or do presentations. But the ums and the ahs, I'm telling you, I will sit there and count after a while because I'm so distracted by it.
Oh, yes. And as I mentioned before, listening to a lot of academics, academics tend to start their sentences with, and so, the next thing we'll look at, and so. Everything's an and so, it's an add-on. And that gets extremely annoying after a while. It's like putting a drill to the center of your head. But it really, really is. And then you've got the Southerners, and they go, y'all, y'all. Mm-hmm. At first, I didn't know what that meant. I thought they were shouting at one another, y'all. Now I actually find the Southern accent quite endearing.
Yeah, I do too. I lived in the South for a little while myself, and there's a lot of drawn out words and hang on. Wow.
You do that so well, Frank.
I lived in Texas for about a year and a half, and I do pick up accents pretty quickly. So.
Okay, give us a bit of a Texas accent. Come on.
Well, that was my Texas accent, since it's pretty long and drawn out. Or you just hear things a little differently and you take life a little slower.
Oh, that's I find now, as I said, a foreigner's ear, that's actually, it's really a nice accent. What do you think, Des?
I like it.
But some people are snobby about it. They kind of seem to think they refer to rednecks, for example. And where did the term redneck come from here? Because we were discussing this once, and in South Africa, I would be a redneck. And a redneck is someone who comes from England, because we're pale and are, you know, apparently it comes from during the Anglo-Boer War, where the Brits were wearing these helmets and short hair and they got rednecks. So that's where that comes from. But where does the term redneck come from here?
It comes from the correlation to them being farmers. Because they're out in the sun all day long working, and they're, you know, tending to the field, and they'd have a redneck as well.
And do you think the term redneck is rude?
Yes. I wouldn't call someone a redneck.
See, now, I wouldn't know that. So, you know, if I spoke to somebody from the South and I would ask them, are you a redneck, that would be rude.
I don't know.
Would that
no
be
idea.
Rude to someone in the South, Frank?
I feel like it would be.
Yes, it would, unless you're Jeff Foxworthy, I guess, and you'd probably be fine with it. You do know the reference, right, the comedian?
Well, I hear you're not going to happen on air.
Oh. Okay. I think we got disconnected. You still there?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm not sure if you heard what I said.
Well, we didn't, so we want you to repeat it.
You'd asked me about the redneck being not really a good term, and I would agree I wouldn't like it either, but then I said it, unless you're Jeff Foxworthy, because he's made a career with it.
That's true. There we go. Now, if we had heard it, you would have got a laugh, so there you go. That's another one of my filler expressions. There you go. Frank, we have another caller, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to take this call and see if there is anything that person wants to add. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We love having you. You're a regular, you're a part of the family, and also part of our group. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. I always feel like it's Friday Funnies. We should be funny. Okay, let's see who this is. Good morning, and welcome to Talk About Talk.
Good morning.
Hi, Kathy. Oh, we have two. See, everybody else is chicken to phone in, but you two have no problem. How do you feel about filler words, Kathy?
I'm trying to loosen up a little bit because I miss message because I get so annoyed at all the filler words.
I know what you mean, but you're so brilliant at weeding them out. There's one person that I truly admire because although I tell people to weed out their filler words, as an empath, I tend to, as I came here, I noticed all of these filler words and now I'm using them. Hopefully not too often, but you are absolutely brilliant. You give speeches and you speak your daily language, and I virtually don't hear, if I hear at all, in fact, I can't remember if I've heard a filler word. And you're very good at stopping yourself, because I've heard you do that, where you actually stop and you pause. How did you weed your filler words out? Did you ever have them?
I did. And particularly when I was around, when I was and it was around younger people much more often, I would pick them up if I was often in conversation with people who used them a lot. But being conscious of them, I worked very hard at it. And
well,
secondly,
I
have a confession to make. Some of my pauses are because I can't remember, I can't think of the word I want next. But again, I have learned to just pause, and because of the feedback I've gotten, I've continued to use that till a word comes to me.
I think that's better than the feeling the need to fill the space with something. It's crazy when people go, they sound like they're a cow in pain when they're trying to figure out what word they want to use. We all have these mental pauses or moments where we can't think of the word to use. I don't know if there's anybody who is truly, I haven't met or seen or listened to anybody who has that down, who just has the words just come flowing out of them unless they've learned a poem or something like that. We all have to stop and think for just the right word. And so I really appreciate that you do that. I'm getting really irritated with myself saying, and so, you know, I want to slap myself at this point. But here's the thing, Desi and I teach kids day in and day out, and I have got a particularly bad bunch. And Kath, I would love your help. We've tried different things, and I'm absolutely convinced if I had to come up with something that would eradicate filler words, that I'd be jumping up and down for starters myself, and I think everybody else would be thrilled. But particularly a group between 8 and 10 that you like so much, and I'm trying to give them incentives. They get points taken off if they use it, but they seem to use it without almost thinking. And I believe maybe the first trick is, answer is for a desire to weed those out. They need to want to weed them out.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is to slow down, and kids don't like being told to slow down. It becomes painful to them. Any tips for us?
First thing we need to acknowledge, I believe, is that there are now essays, news articles, columns written on what is believed to be the sort of evolution and the justification for the widespread use of like in its many iterations. And it helps to understand why it's so prevalent. I can't think of exactly any of the definitions they were giving for it just now. But it doesn't take away from us old timer, us grammar educated people, the dislike of it, the grating edge to it. So I'd have to think on it some.
I hear you, because I think, and this is, again, I think what was really good about me coming in clean and hearing all of this for the first time, hearing it fresh, I do hear it, it stands out for me, and it gives me an impression of somebody who, to be perfectly honest, who isn't very smart.
Yes.
And there, I'm just going to say it. It's out there that when somebody uses like a lot, it sounds to me like they're not really smart. And I'm not alone in that, because when I started questioning people, I found the same thing. In fact, even the kids do this. One of my little boys got up and he talked about the Valley Girl, and he did this mocking kind of speech about, he put it on and all the other kids were rolling on the floor laughing at his Valley Girl impersonation. And in the end, you know, it really wasn't taken seriously. And I don't think that using these words in an interview, for example, would serve young people. And it is worth focusing, doing what Cass does, and stopping yourself, pausing, taking a breath and thinking about what you're saying. Any other great tips, Kath? I know you've also taught. We're having to wind up the show soon.
I have not been a teacher officially, other than one summer.
Well, what other tips can you give us? Because, I mean, you are a teacher in as much as that you teach others within Toastmasters. And maybe our definitions with teachers are different. But I call anybody who's in training and who helps others a teacher.
I have heard that a really good tip is to record yourself. Put something in your pocket, maybe your phone, and just while you're having a conversation. And you probably forget the recorder is on, but then you go listen to it and say, oh, my goodness, that's me?
Yes. That's a really good idea, and that's something that we advise as well, is we record. And I think the first step to the evolution or to the change of this habit is conscious awareness of the fact that you're doing it. And when you're aware of the fact that you're doing it, your next step is to be aware not to do it. Slow down and avoid doing it. Every time you're about to do it, stop. Mm-hmm. So your speech becomes more halted and perhaps not as natural and flowing. But after a while, as you habitually do that, the flow becomes better.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's how we're going to end the show today. Kath, thank you so much for joining us today. And we love having you on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Have a wonderful week.
Stay captivating.
We're training everybody to say, stay captivating.
I think for everyone out there that who use these filler words, just don't stress out about it. It's not, you know, it's not that big of a deal, because if you're focused so much on not saying them that you forget your whole speech, and then you're like, I don't want to say a filler word, and just relax. Just know that you're saying them. Record yourself, as Cass said, which is a fantastic tip. And hear yourself. How many are you using? And then you can start naturally, just start being careful and weeding them out.
I think let's make that the challenge for the week, a no filler word week. And by the way, we've got to do a no bashing the table week, because I noticed even the last show, I don't know what we do. We slap the table and we make noises, and the microphone picks up those little sounds. Okay, let's end the show off with the challenge to all of our listeners out there. Watch what you're saying this week. Slow down a little bit. Get rid of the likes especially. You know, can be weeded down. And so is a word that is used very often in language. I'm okay with it, provided it's not used too often. Just being aware of what you're saying and slowing down. I tend to do that occasionally, don't I? And. Wednesday, when we record our show for Club Captivate members, we will be going into a little bit more of the training side.
Mm-hmm.
From now on, we've decided that our Wednesday show, unfortunately, will not be available to the general public, to listeners, only to our Club Captivate members. We have to give them something special. And we're going to focus more on the training aspect. We're really getting down and dirty.
That's right.
Getting to the nitty-gritty about being a great speaker. Mondays, we're just going to be chatting about different things, and we hope that you learn something from us through this show, that you enjoy the show. We love hearing from you, so keep on sending us your comments, quips, and messages. We love that. We love to get feedback.
And also, please call in, and if you have any tips that you'd also like to provide on air, please feel free to join us. And with that, everyone, have a fantastic week.
And stay captivating.